Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and the readings are taken from Matthew 5, verse 17 to 20, and Deuteronomy 30, from verse 16. The talk is by Mike Gillingham, a reader at St. James, entitled, What Does Jesus Think About Scripture?
First reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. The first verses 3 to 12 in this chapter are the Beatitudes that Fabian's already talked about. And then the next couple of verses talk about being salt of the earth and lamps and sands and all that. Then before going on to outline his new interpretation of the law, Jesus talks about the fulfillment of the law. So this is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading, as you can see, is from Deuteronomy. And this is Moses. I'm just going to quote the chapter 29, verse 1, because it starts, "These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites." So this is Moses continuing these words. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
It's that one, isn't it? Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that we may listen to what you have said. Amen. I think I've drawn a bit of a short straw here, talking about the law, and especially after all Fabian's talk about time and how we mustn't spend too much time. So please forgive me, I may not be as brief as he was. I always used to start my talks with a joke, and one holiday we were in this little town of Josier, which is on the border between France and Switzerland, And a Frenchman from Josier told us this one. He said that the Swiss authorities had done some research, and because most people are right-handed, they had decided that it was actually better for people to drive on the left than the right. So they had passed a law that from May the 1st, all the lorries would drive on the left. Then after a week, if it worked well, all the cars would drive on the left also. Laws receive a bad press, but laws are for life. They're meant to improve life. Life is about regulations in some ways. Laws are not there to stop us living. They're to help us live. Now, it really doesn't matter which side of the road we drive on, so long as we all drive on the same side and know what to do at different junctions, who has the right of way. And it isn't just on the road that laws help us to live. Have you ever thought what a wonderful country this would be if everyone just obeyed the law? Not if everyone was nice and wonderful and cheerful and happy and helpful and kind and generous and good, but just obeyed the law. Everything in the shops would be cheaper overnight because shops tend to allow 10 to 15% for shoplifting. Insurance policies would plummet in price. There would be far fewer deaths on the road. There would be lots of people around who would otherwise have been killed. And I could go on and on and on. Think of towns without locks. You don't need a lock for your door because nobody's going to steal. Laws are to help us live. And so when we're talking about the law and the prophets, which is what we are talking about, we're not talking about you shall not. You shall not be happy. We're talking about you shall live this way, and it's the best way to live. Even odd bits of the Old Testament law are often grounded in modern scientific sense. And I think you've got to remember, when Moses was leading the people of Israel through to the new land, they were leaving Egypt, where they knew all the laws, to a new place where they would have to live together and work out how to live. So they had to have these laws. They had to have ways to get on together. I mean, we're wonderful people, aren't we? We really get on well together. But if we were suddenly moved to a desert island and had to start living there, we'd have to work out some laws and ways of behaving. Some of the Old Testament laws seem rather strange. I've been going through Leviticus recently in my readings, and one of the things is a whole list of people that you shouldn't marry. So you shouldn't marry your mother or father or sister or brother, or, and it goes into all the different things. You get the same incidentally in the prayer book. And it's rooted in modern scientific sense. Here's what happens if you marry close relatives. This is one of the Habsburgs, and he has the famous Habsburg jaw, which made it difficult to eat, because they were so inbred. All sorts of genetic diseases cropped up. And this one was the minor one. The Habsburgs also, some of them went, they weren't terribly sane, shall we say. It's not good to disobey the laws of God. And how about these laws, which are laws to protect vulnerable people? Obviously, don't defraud or rob your neighbor. Don't hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. In other words, if somebody has worked hard for you, they need to eat, so you give them their wages. I remember thinking of this law when I started teaching and worked for a whole month before they paid me. I don't know how they expect you to live on nothing, but there they did. Don't curse the deaf. In other words, if somebody can't hear you, don't say nasty things about them just because they can't hear you. Or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Somebody's going along with a stick. You don't put your foot out to trip them up. This is how to look after people. It's a way to live. Don't show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, perverting justice. There are countries where that is not true, and it hinders life because people can't trust the judges. They have to give bribes. Don't go about spreading slander among your people. And I think we've all seen many examples where a false word spread in the press has ruined lives. Because God is the Lord, we should live well. But I was actually asked to ask what Jesus' attitude to the scriptures was. Well, he talked about the law and the prophets. And this was his attitude to it. Don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. A lot of people thought, here's new teaching. We can get rid of all the old stuff. No, he says, no. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, I wish I was really clever enough to go into all the meanings of that word fulfill, but it's to fulfill them, and we're going to look at that a bit. But truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Even the minutest details are going to last. How much did he value the law? Well, let's look at his life. When tested in the wilderness, hungry and at his lowest point, because he'd been fasting and wrestling with the task that was before him, his three answers to the devil were from the law. You may remember these answers to the temptations. They're from Deuteronomy. The law, Deuteronomy, the second law, the last book of the law, as far as the Jews are concerned. The first five books are the law and the rest are the prophets. So he used them again and again. How well do we know the Bible? So Fabian gave you a task. Let me give you a task. Learn the Bible so well that whenever you have a problem, you know the verse to go to. Because that's what Jesus did. Sorry, that's a bit hard. But that's how Jesus valued the law and the prophets. He knew them off by heart so that when he had a problem, he could go to the right place. When asked about the most important commandments, these are the answers he gave. They're very familiar, aren't they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus gives us his summary of the law. Well, we could reascribe it. Those are quotations. Jesus valued the Old Testament and continually used it. We ignore it at our peril. Of course, if we're looking at the law and the prophets, some of the things were accomplished by Jesus on the cross. There is now no need of any further sacrifices. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointed to that one sacrifice. I think it's actually interesting that even the most orthodox of Jews do not sacrifice now. The only place where sacrifices were allowed was the temple, and the nearest an Orthodox Jew can get is the wall or the platform of the temple, nearest where the Holy of Holies must have been. So they cannot sacrifice. And we know no sacrifice is needed. It has been done. That has been accomplished. That has been fulfilled. The Jewish leaders of Jesus' day and their followers sometimes take things to ridiculous lengths. I had a friend in college who was a Jew, and she would quite like to watch television on a Saturday, but being a Jew, she wasn't allowed to switch on a television set in the hall of residence she stayed in. I'm not absolutely certain of the details. I think it's because it involved people doing work making the programs, or it may have been people doing work making the electricity. But, if she went and sat in the television room of her hall of residence, and somebody came in and switched on the television, she could stay and watch it. In some parts of London, they have what is called, I don't know how to pronounce it, Eruv. That is, they put a border around an area and you can walk wherever you like in that border, even if it's more than a Sabbath day's journey. These are the sort of things that Jesus was saying are a bit ridiculous, honestly. They're not real interpretations of the law. But in France again, at the revolution, they had a wonderful idea. The distances are measured on the king's foot. We'll get rid of it. We'll have the new metric system. We'll have a new metric week. How about that? A 10-day week. Isn't this wonderful? No, it wasn't. Nobody wanted a 10-day week, particularly if you had to wait 9 days before you get a day off. And it failed very rapidly. Jesus did add his interpretations of the law, but they made them stricter, not more relaxed. I've got to be careful here. I mustn't tread on Nick and others who are following me, who have to talk in particular on these, so I won't be too detailed on these. But just one example. You have heard about you shall not murder, but I say, don't be angry with people. I'll let Nick deal with that. But it's something he often says. You have heard, and I tell you. And every time, he makes the law stricter. Now, that's a bit hard. I haven't murdered anybody, but I have been cross. And I think if I took the Ten Commandments, I'm probably okay. But as Jesus amplifies them, I haven't lived as he wanted me to. I haven't lived as he wants me to. And being me, I'm sure that this week I will find other ways that I fail. But we're here because of that sacrifice of Christ. We are all forgiven sinners. And more than that, we are commanded to love each other. This is the new commandment, the extra one that's not in the law and the prophets. We're commanded to love each other as Jesus loves us. Just let that sink in a moment. Jesus loved you and me so much that he died for us. That is how we're to love each other. We are to welcome each other. I find it so sad when Christians are labeled as puritanical. In fact, what does that word mean? It means like the Puritans. Well, the Puritans, lots of them were lovely people. And evangelicals today can be labeled as people who condemn, and we should not be that. We are people who love each other and welcome each other. But Jesus also calls for the highest standards. We must act and we must teach according to the high standards of the law and his prophets, and he strengthened these commands. But we must always act with love towards each other. And that love doesn't mean to say that I will agree with everything that you say. I'm sure we can find things that we all disagree with. Richard mentioned some possible disagreements about which football team, and he will know that I care nothing about football, any football teams, except the rugby football teams. We won't agree with each other, but we are called to love each other. And what does Jesus think about the law and the prophets? He values them with every part of his mind and soul. And he says to us this morning, choose life. Choose life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the law and the prophets and the teaching of Jesus, but above all for his sacrifice that accomplished all that the law and prophets pointed to. And we pray that we may continually in our walk with you choose life. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.